The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Are you recording it? So, are you on? Can you hear okay? Okay. I'd like to read you one of the stories in my little book of stories, if I may. One evening, the abbess declared that the next day every monk and nun was prohibited from using the words I, me, mine, and myself, unless it was required for answering a direct question from someone else. The next morning was chaotic. Feeling as if they were learning to walk all over again, the monastics kept tripping over their words and stumbling in all their interpersonal interactions. By the afternoon, some were humbled, confused, and dismayed to learn how frequently their impulses to speak, as well as their thinking, were self-referential. By the evening, the predominant atmosphere in the monastery was one of relief, as the monks and nuns realized that they had survived an entire day without initiating any self-focused discussion. As they laid themselves down to sleep, each person was amazed at how clear and at ease their mind had become. This story, when I wrote this story, I was a little bit inspired by my experience of being in a Japanese monastery. I was in a Zen monastery in Japan for a period of time. And I knew a little bit of Japanese when I started there, but not much. And the way that I had some books, and as I was Japanese language books I was trying to study, but once I was really in the monastery, I focused not so much on reading the language books, but rather I just plunged in with whatever Japanese I knew and just tried to speak with the other monks who were there. And after a while, it became very clear that I spoke Japanese like an American would speak English. And they spoke Japanese like they were Japanese, of course. And the big difference was that in Japanese, you almost never use personal pronouns. The personal pronouns are understood in context. So if I say, we're going to go, I would just say, we're going. Now, I would just say going. I wouldn't say we. Going. And because of the context, we'd all know going. I could say, now it's time for me to speak, to give a talk, you wouldn't say in Japanese, you'd say, now is the time for talking, for the talk. Because my Japanese wasn't very good, every sentence pretty much that I would start with the word I. And the Japanese word for I is a three-syllable word. And then it requires a kind of preposition after it. So you need to say four syllables to get out this thing, I. Watashi wa. So I would start all my sentences with watashi wa. Literally saying like, as for me. After a while, it stood out and highlighted what I was doing. How different it was than how everybody else spoke in the monastery. They never said that. They never said, as for me or I. It was mostly in context. And it felt kind of, didn't feel comfortable. It felt kind of like it wasn't necessary. It was kind of like all this focus on me. Now in English, when we speak, we often use the word I very innocently. It comes off our tongues very easily, I think. And that's just how English is set up grammatically. You tend to use the pronouns much more. You state the subject of a sentence, where in Japanese you often, the subject of a sentence is implied or assumed. But it made me conscious not only of how often I spoke that way, but more importantly, I became conscious of how often I was being self-referential in my thinking, and why, and I became conscious of why is it so often so important to say things in reference to myself, what I think, what I believe, what my experience is, what I want. And I saw how often way of talking, and even more importantly, how I was thinking, was self-referential. And it was kind of humbling. I was kind of a little bit shocked to see it all. And so it's one thing to see it, that something else to maybe vary that, change that. But one of the things that really helped to do that, the two things that helped a lot to kind of lessen that degree of self-referential focus that my mind worked on. One was, it helped me to see how, in essence, how uncomfortable it was to think that way. That there's a kind of stress or strain, agitation that comes with a fair amount of the self-referential thinking. What's in it for me? How's this me? You know, I need to make myself safe. I need to prove myself. I need to get the plan ahead. I need to do this and that. And there's a kind of, if you really pay attention, you see the strain of that, or the how uncomfortable it is to do that. When I started seeing how uncomfortable it was, then it became easier to want to let go of it. I couldn't necessarily let go of it automatically, but certainly made it a lot easier to, you know, who would want to do this? Who would want to keep irritating themselves? The other thing that really helped a lot was to begin having a sense of well-being, a sense of wellness, well-being, that was an alternative to thinking about myself, planning around myself, building myself up, proving myself to others, apologizing to a lot of my thoughts were self-apologetic, you know, trying to defend myself and say, explain why I was okay to everyone, at least in my mind. But as I started feeling a sense of well-being inside, then that wasn't needed anymore. It was like the sense of well-being was the place to rest, was the reference point for how to be. And the sense of well-being for me arose very directly in connection to meditation. That meditating was for me the way that I discovered experiences of well-being, of peace, that I had never experienced before in my life, or very little experienced in my life. Certainly had not experienced in any way where I could tap into it regularly. And as through meditation, I got more settled and concentrated and calm, the sense of inner peace, inner well-being became this very important resting reference point for me. And then it was easier not to go into those kind of self-referential thoughts as much. I still, like I'm doing right now, still refer to myself and I regularly enough. And some of it, I hope, is just kind of just innocent kind of way of talking and sharing and communicating. And sometimes I still see that if I look at how I use I, that they're still kind of attached to it or connected to it or motivating it, things that I still need to work with and practice with and see how I'm caught by certain things or certain identities or certain ways of being seen or trying to get something that I want or something. But tuning into how I, just a simple word, I, me, myself, and mine, and that kind of thinking has proven to be a very useful door, very useful window into seeing something very important within me. And probably the truth for many of you as well. I think that for many people, one of the primary forms of suffering arises out of all the self-referential ways we think. And more often than not, we take it for granted. It's like they say the fish doesn't see the water it swims in. Human beings don't see the self that they drown in. and all those thoughts. So by turning around and looking at that a little bit and becoming conscious of it, can be very educational and very helpful, I believe. So you might, this monastery example of where the monks and nuns were told not to use the word I, me, myself, and mine for one whole day. You might see if in some appropriate context you can experiment with that and actually do that as a practice. Unless someone asks you a direct question that requires you to say, use those words, don't initiate a conversation with the words I, me, myself, and mine. And if it's not really necessary, don't use it at all. And but don't be so weird that people think you're weird. I mean, you should, hopefully no one else can notice you doing this, perhaps. Like, what's going on with you? You're sounding weird. you start making these convoluted grammatical sentences. you know, as for this person here, there is arising within the mind a certain this kind of thought, and but you know, they get sick of you really quickly. Talk normally, but within reason, try it for a day, avoiding the use of I, me, myself, I, and mine. And see what that teaches about yourself. See what it teaches about the impulse to use that those words, where it comes from, how, why you say it. And chances are you'll learn a lot about yourself in the process. And it'd be great also in the process if you learned something about an alternative to coming from that, from I, me, myself, and mine. So have fun. And perhaps by the end of the day, you'll feel surprisingly clear and relaxed as you go to sleep from that experiment. Okay? Mm-hmm.